This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And as we come to the end of this year, 2020, I wanted to share with you a reminder and a reflection over this entire year and what has happened of this pandemic and what does the believer learn from all of this. So first and foremost, to begin, I begin with Allah Azza wa Jal's words in Surah Al-Baqarah, in where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He promised. He said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. Verily and definitely, no doubt about it, we will test you. And in more than one place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةِ. In many places in the Quran and in the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that He will test us. بِشَيْءٍ, with something. مِنَ الْخَوْفِ, of fear, anxiety. وَالْجُوعِ, jua, poverty, hunger. وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. He will test us with a loss of wealth and a loss of life. Loss of wealth could mean losing your job, losing your farms and the crops that grow on the farms and so on. Allah Azza wa Jal promised this. Al-ulama rahimahumullah, they discussed a question. Why does Allah Azza wa Jal tell us in the Quran that He will test us? Why? In order for us to be prepared. In order for us to be prepared. So when the believer is tested, he is not as shocked as someone who never read Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word. We are always prepared for Allah azza wa jal's calamities and the tests that He sends upon us and sends upon mankind. And you know, I give you this example. Let's say I told a group of students, I was teaching students, and I told a group of students that at the end of the year, I am going to give you a test based on everything we studied throughout the year. Now, what does that mean? That means the students will be prepared at the end of the year because I informed them that there will be a test. So they're prepared. Now, this is different to, let's say, for example, I taught the students the entire year and I came at the end of the year and I surprised them with an exam and I said to them, here's an exam and you have to fill in this exam. Many would be shocked and surprised. And perhaps most won't perform as good as they would had I told them there was an exam. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, when Allah Azza wa Jal, He says to us, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, we will surely test you. That means that the believer is already prepared because Allah has already informed him ahead of time that be careful and be aware and stay focused and keep your mind and your eyes open. Tests are going to come on this road. And no doubt, 2020 has been an extremely tough year for everyone. No doubt, on all levels. Social and physical, emotional, economical, spiritual, masajid closed down. Yani, it's been an entire year of struggle and extreme difficulty for each and every single person. Millions became infected and continue to become infected from this disease. From presidents to celebrities to scholars to Muslims to non-Muslims. So many people, everyone has been affected. People saw death and Allah Azza wa Jal brought them back to life. In other words, they were about to die from this virus, but Allah Azza wa Jal allowed them to live. Subhanallah. Young and old died. People lost their jobs. People dealt with severe depression and anxiety, which caused and led to suicide. People lived in extreme fear, and until now, people are living in extreme fear. Some people are trapped in foreign countries and until now they haven't been able to get back to their homes. Subhanallah. But as I said to you, to the Muslim, this doesn't come as a huge surprise because Allah has already informed us in the Quran that surely He will test us. So now we are seeing Allah Azza wa Jal's test towards us. Now, my brothers and sisters in Islam, what I wanted to first discuss with you is this pandemic, is this virus a punishment from Allah, or is it a test from Allah, or is it a mercy of Allah? What is it? There's a lot of discussion that happens in this. And it's been a year now, and still I hear from people and I see posts and I read things that are contrary to what Allah Azza wa Jal has taught us and what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us of guidance concerning this matter. So let's discuss this. First and foremost, we'll refer to a hadith that is narrated by Aisha radiyallahu anha, in which she says, سَأَلْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنِ الطَّاعُونَ. Aisha radiyallahu anha, one time, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about الطَّاعُونَ. Let's understand what الطَّاعُونَ is. الطَّاعُونَ, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is a specific disease that's caused by a certain type of bacteria. In English, الطَّاعُونَ is known as a plague. A plague is a specific disease. This is what الطَّاعُونَ is. And there's another word as well that describes our state today, and that is known as وَبَاء. وَبَاء in English is translated as pandemic. And what is a pandemic? What is a وَبَاء anyway? When you hear this word pandemic, what does it mean? Pandemic means any kind of disease. It could be any disease that is widespread over an entire country or around the whole world. So what we're experiencing of this coronavirus is a pandemic. It's a disease that is widespread across the entire globe. Now the difference between وَبَاء and طاعون, because remember in this hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha is asking النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم about الطاعون, which is a specific disease that is caused by a certain type of bacteria, and that is known as the plague. So the idea is that العلماء رحمهم الله, they said that الوباء, which is a pandemic, it takes the ruling of the طاعون, of the plague, if it was to cause death and it becomes a high number of death. So we can use this hadith to speak about whether this coronavirus is a punishment or a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what we're experiencing, as we said, this coronavirus is known in Arabic as waba, pandemic. And this waba takes the ruling of al-ta'un, which is a plague, if this waba causes a lot of death. So in this hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the plague, about a pandemic. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed her by saying that it is a punishment from Allah that he sends upon whoever he wills. And Allah Azza wa Jal made the pandemic, made the plague a mercy upon the believers, and that there is not a single person who lives in a land in which this plague arrives, and then he sits in his country, صَابِرًا مُحْتَسِبًا. In another narration, fi بَيْتِهِ, he sits in his house. He doesn't move around. He sits in his house, only goes out for essentials and necessities and needs. And he sits in his house observing patience, seeking Allah Azza wa Jal's reward, مُحْتَسِبًا. يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ لَا يُصِيبُهُ إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. And he knows and he's convinced that nothing would happen to him except that which Allah has written for him. Allahu Akbar. Yani written for him, because Allah's qadr upon us is for us. It's not against us. It's for us. We're the ones that are rewarded for it if we know how to preserve in patience and seek Allah's reward. إِلَّا كَانَ لَهُ مِثْلَ أَجْرِ الشَّهِيدِ or مِثْلُ أَجْرِ الشَّهِيدِ. Except that such person that does that, sits in his home, in his homeland, he's observing patience, seeking Allah's reward, because there's a pandemic outside, a deadly virus that is causing death to people and causing them to fall ill and sick and other side effects. His reward would be that of a shaheed, of a martyr. Allahu Akbar. If we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us such a reward, and to allow us to observe in patience and seek his reward when we sit at home waiting and awaiting this pandemic to be removed. My brothers and sisters in Islam, let's also understand now, answering this question, whether this coronavirus, is it a punishment? Who is it a punishment against? We said it's a mercy upon the believers. And what does that mean, that it's a mercy upon the believers? Let me tell you and inform you of this. We know that calamities that Allah Azza wa Jal sends upon his creation are for three reasons. There are three reasons for why Allah Azza wa Jal tests his servants. Number one is to raise a person's level in the paradise. And this is for prophets and the righteous people of Allah's slaves that have been cleared from their sins. So if you're cleared from your sins, if you have no sins to your name, they've all been wiped away. If Allah Azza wa Jal was to still test you, those tests now translate in a rise of levels in the paradise and rank in the paradise for such a person. And this is the case of the prophets. And it's true, a person can walk on earth with no sins, that his sins have all been cleared and wiped away. It's definitely true. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith, فَمَا يَزَالُ الْبَلَاءُ بِالْعَبْدِ حَتَّى يَمْشِي عَلَى الْأَرْضِ وَمَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ خَطِيئَةِ, that Allah Azza wa Jal will continuously test a servant, continuously test him until he walks on earth and he is free of sin. Allahu Akbar. There is no sin upon him whatsoever. Allahu Akbar. So that's the first wisdom and reason for why Allah sends down calamities, so that he can raise certain people levels and ranks in the paradise. The second reason for ibtila, the second reason for calamity, no matter what kind of calamity it is, we're speaking about this COVID and what it has resulted of, loss of job, loss of wealth, fear in the people and whatever it has done, loss of lives, of loved ones and so on. The second reason for why Allah tests us with this COVID, coronavirus, as an expiation for sins, to wipe away sins. That's a reason for why Allah Azza wa Jal tests us. That's the second reason. And this is supported by the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu and Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, in where they said, well, hadith is authentic, مَا يُصِيبُ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, مَا يُصِيبُ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنْ وَصَبٍ وَلَا نَصَبٍ وَلَا سُقْمٍ وَلَا سَقَمٍ وَلَا حُزْنٍ حَتَّى الْهَمَّ يَهُمُّهُ إِلَّا كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ سَيِّئَاتِهِ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that there is no wasab that affects a believer. What is a wasab? Wasab is a chronic illness such as cancer, diabetes, chronic mental illnesses. Chronic means a disease or a sickness that lasts for a long time. It's permanent. That's wasab. The hadith says that if Allah Azza wa Jal was to afflict a person with wasab, a chronic permanent illness, or nasab, tiredness, fatigue, exhaustion, or saqam, saqam is a temporary sickness. You get a flu and then you recover from it. Or huzn, huzn is sadness. If Allah was to afflict upon a person sadness, huzn here specifically means sadness over something you lost. Sadness for something that happened in the past. You lost something. حَتَّى الْهَمَّ يَهُمُّهُ. Even if Allah was to test a person with ham, depression and worry. Depression and worry means because of a calamity that has befallen you present. You're dealing with it present time. Except that Allah Azza wa Jal wipes away his sins. Allahu Akbar. Any of these calamities that a person is tested with, it works towards expiation of sins. Allah Azza wa Jal clears a person from his sins. And this category is like you and I, believers with sins. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jal tests us with, if we remain patient and seek Allah Azza wa Jal's reward, we remain patient by saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And we do not say things which are displeasing to Allah, and we do not do things that are displeasing to Allah, then these calamities, such as coronavirus and anything else, They work towards cleansing our sins. The many sins we have, we need a way. We need a solution to clean them. Allah Azza wa Jal, by His mercy, would send these calamities so that He clears us up in this life, so that we avoid punishment in the grave, punishment in the hereafter, and punishment in the hellfire. Now, and the final reason for why Allah Azza wa Jal tests His servants is as a form of punishment. And who is it a punishment upon? Calamities are a punishment upon the disbelievers. Al-waba, or this coronavirus, or whatever it is of calamities, they are punishments upon the disbelievers from one perspective, and they are also a mercy upon disbelievers from another perspective. I'll explain to you what I mean. Number one, we say that these calamities upon disbelievers are a punishment from Allah Azza wa Jal, because this is what Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Quran. This is what Allah mentioned in the Quran. For example, in Surah Al-A'raf, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the calamities that He sent upon the nation of Fir'aun. Fir'aun is a disbelieving nation. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانِ, He sent upon them the flood. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانِ وَالْجَرَادِ, the lotus, وَالْقُمَّلْ وَالضَّفَادِعُ وَالْدَمْ, the frogs, the plague, blood, the entire Nile River turned into blood. They couldn't drink it anymore. آيَاتٍ مُفَصَّلَاتٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal tested these people with a plague, which was the locust. In Surah Az-Zukhruf, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described what He tested Bani Israel, what He tested the people of Fir'aun with, He said, وَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْعَذَابِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal described the calamity sent upon a disbelieving nation as azab. He sent it as azab. Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Sajdah, He said, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى, that we are going to, لُنِذِيقَنَّهُمْ, we're going to make them taste the punishment of this life before the greater punishment of the hereafter. So calamities that Allah sends upon the disbelievers are punishments from Allah Azza wa Jal upon them. And why do we say this? Because I already told you that calamities upon people are for three reasons. Number one, that Allah raises ranks for that person in the paradise, that Allah wipes away sins, and Allah tests a person as a form of punishment. Now for the disbeliever, he cannot be in the first category, because you cannot be raised ranks in the paradise unless you're a believer. He cannot be from the second category, in where the test is wiping away his sins. Because in order for your sins to be wiped away, you must embrace the tawheed. You must accept La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So that can't be happening for him. When Allah Azza wa Jal tests them, there remains one more, and that is a punishment from Allah Azza wa Jal upon them. And I said to you, calamities upon disbelievers, from another perspective, is a mercy of Allah upon them. Why do I say that? Because in the same ayat that Allah Azza wa Jal described calamities upon disbelievers as a punishment, in the same ayah He said, وَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْعَذَابِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. He tests them, even though it's a punishment for their disbelief and disobedience, in hope that they might realize the truth and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, from that perspective, it's a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. And this happened. This happened to the people, to the disbelieving nation of Yunus alayhi salam. When the disbelieving nation of Yunus alayhi salam rejected the messenger, rejected Allah's message, did not want to accept Allah's oneness, and Yunus alayhi salam left them and took away, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, فَلَوْلَا كَانَتْ قَرْيَةٌ آمَنَتْ فَنَفَعَهَا إِيمَانُهَا إِلَّا قَوْمَ يُونُسِ لما آمنوا كشفنا عنهم عذاب الخزي في الحياة الدنيا ومتعناهم إلى حين. The people of Yunus, they were disbelievers when Yunus alayhi salam left. And Allah Azza wa Jal was about to send punishment upon them. He was about to send a massive calamity that would have wiped them all away. Allah Azza wa Jal referred to this calamity as عذاب. But then they realized, they recognized, they were in the wrong. So they immediately turned to Allah in sincere tawbah and repentance. And they asked Allah for forgiveness. And they regretted what they had done with their prophet Yunus alayhi salam. And they regretted rejecting Allah's message. So they embraced the oneness of Allah. They accepted Allah Azza wa Jal. And what happened? Allah Azza wa Jal said, كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخِزِي. We removed the punishment away from them. Allah Azza wa Jal warded this punishment away. Allahu Akbar. وَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ حِينَ. And we gave them an enjoyment and a beautiful life for a short moment until they lived their lives and they died. Allahu Akbar. So this is the idea. This pandemic and any calamity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends upon a disbeliever, from one perspective, it's a punishment because it doesn't wipe away his sins. He needs to accept Allah before that happens. It doesn't raise his level in the paradise. He needs to accept the tawheed and la ilaha illallah before that happens. So it remains as a punishment upon him. And from another perspective, it's Allah's mercy upon him that perhaps he might wake up because it's not too late. Look at the people of Yunus. The punishment was about to come upon them. They accepted Allah. Allah removed it and replaced them with pleasure and enjoyment until they lived their lives and they died afterwards. Allahu Akbar. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, this is how we understand this coronavirus. It is a mercy upon the believers. It works towards raising the ranks of those who are sinless, have been wiped away from their sins. If you still have sins, it wipes away the sins. And upon the disbeliever, it is a wake-up call for him. And ultimately, of course, it's a wake-up call for each and every single one of us. The next thing I wanted to discuss with you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is how does the believer respond to universal changes? This change that has happened around the universe because of this tiny virus, how does a believer respond to this? How does a believer respond to incidents and events that happen in the universe and all around us? You see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always teach his companions to tie incidents and events and universal changes to spiritual meanings so that the iman could increase. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do with his companions. So every time they observed a universal change or something of a huge incident or event that happened in their life, they would observe it with spiritual lens, not only with their physical eyes, like most people today. They saw coronavirus, they heard the news, coronavirus, khalas, their mind is shallow, their intellect is shallow, and it just closes at that. And then they begin to resort to conspiracy theories to find an explanation for what's going on. The believer doesn't respond like this. The believer, he looks at these events through spiritual lens. Now let me give you examples as to what I mean. Firstly, let's take, for example, the full moon. This is a universal change. It's an incident that used to happen every single month. Whenever the full moon used to appear in the sky bright on the 15th night of every Islamic month, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam once, he said to his two companions, هَلْ تُضَارُونَ فِي رُؤْيَةِ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ. He said to them, do you people crowd up to see the moon on a full moon's night? Or everyone can see it from his own space and own backyard? So they said, لَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. No, we don't have to crowd up to see the full moon. Now look at this. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acknowledged this wonderful, magnificent event of a full moon, and he immediately tied it to a spiritual meaning. He said to them, فَمَا تُضَارُونَ فِي رُؤْيَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said, and in the same manner, you will be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment when you're in the paradise. In other words, just like you don't crowd up in this life to see the moon, everyone can see it from his own backyard, that's how we will see Allah azza wa jal on the day of judgment in the paradise. We don't pack up and crowd up in one area and all of us on top of each other to see Allah Azza wa Jal. Everyone in the private space of his, in his own comfort and luxury and his own space, would see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like today, I live in a country, you live somewhere else. You see the moon, I see the moon. We didn't have to crowd up. Allahu Akbar, look how beautiful this is. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a phenomena, a huge event such as the full moon, the brightness of the moon, and he tied it to a spiritual meaning. This is what we have to do. When we see coronavirus and we hear about this universal change, we need to tie it to a spiritual meaning. Let me give you another example. Another universal change and an incident that used to happen in the universe is the eclipse of the moon, the eclipse that used to happen. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would rush out to his companions, not only saying, oh my God, today there is an eclipse of the moon. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? Nah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the universal change, saw a phenomenal event that is happening in the universe, and he immediately tied it to a spiritual meaning. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ آيَتَانِ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَا يَنْكَسِفَانِ لِمَوْتِ أَحَدٍ وَلَا لِحَيَاتِهِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُخَوِّفُ بِهَا عِبَادَهُ. الله أكبر. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that the moon and the sun are two signs of the signs of Allah عز وجل. They do not eclipse for anyone's death nor for anyone's life. It has nothing to do with the death and the life of the people. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses them, يُخَوِّفُ بِهَا عِبَادَهُ. He uses them to instill fear, to put fear inside of his servants. Not the negative fear that keeps you crippled and anxious and worried and not knowing what to do. No, that's bad fear. We don't want that kind of fear. The fear that Allah instills in the heart of the servant is positive fear. Fear that enhances your relationship with Allah. Fear that gets you up on your two feet to do the good deeds and the obligations, to read your Quran, to keep away from al-haram. This is the positive fear that we want. Now, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would immediately say to his companions, as soon as the eclipse is taking place, he would say them, rush to as-salat. He would pray two rak'at, salat al-kusuf. He would encourage them to give sadaqah, to make dua, to engage in dhikr, to seek Allah's forgiveness, to free people from slavery, if anyone was a slave, you know, to seek Allah Azza wa Jalla's protection from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire and so on. See how beautiful this is? This is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam trained his companions. When something in the universe changes, he quickly ties them up to Allah Azza wa Jalla. He ties it to a spiritual meaning, something that will benefit them. And so once again, we need to do the same thing. When this coronavirus has changed the world, it's a universal change. We can see what it has done. What kind of spiritual meaning did you tie it to? This is what we need to ask. This is what we need to do. We need to understand. Allahu Akbar. Take another example. As-Sayf. Summer. Summer is a universal change. So the weather changes. There's four seasons. And when summer approaches and summer comes in, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't just sit down with his companions and they would complain how hot it is and it's getting sweaty and it's humid and this is the weather report. None of that. That's fine. Okay, acknowledge that stuff. That everyone can see that. But what's the spiritual meaning that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tie the companions with? So when it was summer and it was extreme heat, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take the opportunity and he would say to his companions, إِذَا اشْتَدَّ الْحَرِّ فَأَبْرِدُوا بِالظُّهْرِ. When there is extreme heat, delay salat al-dhuhr. And then he would say to them, فَإِنَّ شِدَّةَ الْحَرِّ مِنْ فَيْحِ جَهَنَّمِ. Because the extreme heat that you experience in summer is from hellfire. It is coming from hellfire. So now we have companions witnessing summer and extreme heat, and at the same time, they're remembering the fire of the afterlife. They're remembering the fire of the hellfire. And they begin to, of course, making dua, seeking Allah's protection from his anger, from his punishment, and from the hellfire. Once again, coronavirus is a universal change. What spiritual meaning did you tie it to? This is what we need to understand. Even in winter, when there was extreme cold, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would also tie that to a spiritual meaning. He would say to his companions, وأشد ما تجدون من الزمهرير. من الزمهرير meaning النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said in the hadith that begins from the beginning, he said that the fire, it complained to its Lord. So it said, O Lord, أكل بعضي بعضا, that the fire, parts of me has eaten other parts. That's how intense the flame and the heat is in the fire. Parts have eaten other parts of the hellfire. So Allah Azza wa Jal gave permission to the fire for two breaths in the year. He allowed it to breathe out two times a year. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it breathes out once in winter and once in summer. And the most hottest and extreme hot day you find is from the breath of Jahannam. And the extreme cold day you experience is also from the breath of Az-Zamharir, which is also a form of punishment. Extreme cold is a form of punishment, just like the hellfire and extreme heat is a form of punishment. So you see that once again, it was winter when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tie that to a spiritual meaning, so that the heart is always alive, so that the conscious is always alive, so that you understand behind these incredible universal phenomena and these huge changes and incidents and events that happen in the world, there's Allah that is behind them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what causes all of this. So tie them to a spiritual meaning so your iman could grow and increase. Allahu Akbar. Even rain, when it used to rain, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come out to his companions and say to them, مُطِرْنَا بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ, that we have been given rain and we have been provided with rain because of Allah's grace and mercy upon us. It's Allah's blessing upon us. He would remind them that the rain is a blessing from Allah upon us. Allahu Akbar. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to encourage the companions and encouraged us that when it rains, go out to the rain and expose some of your skin to the rain. فَإِنَّهُ حَدِيثُ عَهْدٍ بِرَبِّهِ, because it's fresh, it's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's new. So have a feel of it. Have a feel of Allah's rahmah on your skin. Allahu Akbar. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to his companions, ثِنْتَانِ لَا تُرَدَّانِ, two things, if you do, they are never rejected. Meaning two times of dua. If you were to make dua during these times, they are never rejected. And he said to them, one of them, الدُّعَاء عِنْدَ الْمَطَرْ أَوْ تَحْتَ الْمَطَرْ, dua when it rains. Allahu Akbar. So this universal change, when it used to rain, he's not just sitting down and telling them, oh, it's raining, we need to be indoors. Did you lock this out? Did you put this in? No, he used to say to them, this is a chance to make dua. And the dua would be answered, it will not be rejected. When it rains, وَتَحْتَ الْمَطَرْ, the other narration mentions, under the rain. So go under the rain and make dua. Allahu Akbar, how beautiful is this? When we understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is tying every single universal incident, everything that happened in the universe, he tied it to a spiritual meaning. Allahu Akbar. And when the wind used to blow strong, and that is also a phenomena, it's an event, it's an incident, a universal change. All of a sudden, the weather is calm. All of a sudden, the wind picks up and strong wind happens. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to his companions, he would say to them, الرِّيحُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. الرِّيح, wind, is from the mercy of Allah. رَوْحِ اللَّهِ, meaning from the mercy of Allah. Allahu Akbar. فَرَوْحُ اللَّهِ تَأْتِي بِالرَّحْمَةِ وَتَأْتِي بِالْعَذَابِ. He used to say to them, and this wind that comes from Allah, it could be a mercy or it could be a punishment. So he'd immediately advise his companions and instruct them. And he would say to them, ask Allah to bring you the goodness of this wind, to only affect you by that which is good of the wind, such as pollination for the crops and other benefits. And ask, seek Allah's protection from the harm and the evil of this wind, which could be destructive and destroy everything that people own. Subhanallah. What a beautiful and an incredible wisdom and beautiful training that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would nurture his companions upon. So now nothing is different. When we experience this coronavirus, and no doubt it's a phenomenon, it's a incident, it's a huge event that has taken place throughout this entire 2020. And it doesn't mean that it ends with the last day of 2020. This Allahu A'lam would keep going on for as long as Allah Azza wa Jal wants. But this is an incident. It's a universal change. The entire world changed as a result. But the believer, he's supposed to tie that with a spiritual meaning. That's what we need to do. So what is the lesson that you have learned from this coronavirus? And what spiritual meaning did you tie it to? I'll help you and I'll share with you a few. Number one, this coronavirus, no doubt whatsoever, in terms of the believer, for the case of the believer, it must increase his iman in Allah. Allahu Akbar. It must increase your iman in Allah. And in our reflect, we have come to the end of the year. Did this coronavirus increase your iman in Allah and your love for Allah and your closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal? Or it kept you further away from Allah and it created doubt inside your heart concerning Allah Azza wa Jal? And it developed a form of hatred for Allah Azza wa Jal in your heart, wal-iyadu billah. Shaitan will take the advantage and the opportunity to cast this kind of doubt in your heart. But the believer would have increased in his iman and love for Allah as a result of this coronavirus. Allahu Akbar. And this coronavirus is a lesson to every atheist and everyone who doubts the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is that the case? Let me tell you how. You know, everyone believed in this coronavirus, that it exists. Everyone believed in it. Even conspiracy theorists, at the end of the day, they know that there is a virus. But now they're trying to solve who's responsible for it, what is the plan behind this, and whatever they discuss. But the idea, the virus is there. It's around. And you see this. People believed in this virus, even though they did not see it with their eyes. Allahu Akbar. So why did you believe in it? Because we saw its effect around the world. We saw people that got sick. We saw people that died. If we didn't want to believe that, our own family members became sick. Some family members died. Then that promoted us to believe in its existence and that truly there is such a thing as a coronavirus. So if we believed in a virus that we did not see with our eyes, but we believed in it because we saw its effect around the world, then in the same manner, you must believe in the existence of Allah and accept the existence of Allah. Why? Because can't you see the effect of Allah Azza wa Jal around you? Everything that He created, everything that He does in this universe, every drop of rain that He sends down, every baby that is born, every person that is cured from his sickness, and the doctors don't know how he was cured. All of this points to the fact that it is Allah Azza wa Jal who exists in order for these things to happen. Allahu Akbar. So in the same manner, you accepted to believe that there is such a virus because you saw its effect, then accept that Allah Azza wa Jal exists because the effect of Allah Azza wa Jal is all around you. Allahu Akbar. Within yourself, there's a proof that Allah Azza wa Jal exists. All around you, there is proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. Subhanallah. Now, so the next kind of spiritual meaning we're supposed to tie with this coronavirus is that we are supposed to recognize our weakness before Allah Azza wa Jal. Recognize your weakness before Allah. Humble yourself and know that you are weak. Do not be arrogant. And don't say things like how we hear governments today. We're winning the war against this virus. War, you're with Allah in a war. These are words of arrogance. Rather, ask Allah Azza wa Jal by His mercy, by His favor, by His grace, that He remove this virus away from this world. Ask Him by His mercy, not we're winning the war. These are words, these are arrogant words. Humble yourself. Because the believer is weak, rather the entire world is weak in front of something that cannot even be seen by the naked eye. Allahu Akbar. And look at the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he first arrived to Al-Madinah after the Hijrah, there was a disease that was spreading in Al-Madinah. Some were dying from this disease. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got affected and he became so sick that he didn't know what he was saying. He was mumbling words. He didn't know what he was saying. That's how sick he became. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made a dua and he said, "Oh Allah, remove this disease, this sickness from Al-Madinah." So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw in his dream a black woman that was old and she was moving away from Al-Madinah. And he interpreted that dream as being the sickness, the disease that will move away from Medina. And it finally ended in a place known as Al-Juhfa. You see how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with a virus that had become widespread in Al-Madinah, not with arrogance. Are we going to fight it? Are we going to win the fight? And we're in this together? No, this. He made a humble dua to Allah. Oh Allah, move this virus away from Al-Madinah. Allah Azza wa Jal, in seconds, he removed it. Overnight, they got up and it was gone. Allahu Akbar. But human beings, I tell you, yet to humble themselves before the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. They are yet to acknowledge and recognize their weakness before the greatness and the supreme and the grand, the grandness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal, at the same time, this virus, it teaches us that we are to acknowledge the power and the strength and the dominance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has over this entire universe and over all of his creation. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. It is Allah who is Al-Qahir. He is the one in control over all the affairs of his servants. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ. And he is the all-wise. He knows how he controls his servants. We don't need someone to tell Allah what to do and what not to do. Allah Azza wa Jal deals with his servants the way he wants. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ. He's wise. What he does to his servants is upon wisdom. It's not random events. Allah Azza wa Jal didn't just cast this coronavirus onto the universe as just like that, without any purpose and without any wisdom behind it. Allah Azza wa Jal's qadr is precisely calculated. He subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-wise, the all-knowledgeable, knows what he's doing. It is you and I that don't know what we're doing and what we're saying. Wallahu ya'lamu antum la ta'lamun. Allahu Akbar. And still, I find arrogance in people when they resort to conspiracy theories and try to share that and try to push that around in the world. Why? Do you know? They're aslan these conspiracy theorists. Are they, what knowledge do they have? Who are they anyway? Who are they? Are they a verified source in Islam for you to take from them? Allahu Akbar. This is arrogance. Rather, humble yourself. Humble yourself before Allah Azza wa Jal. Accept Allah's strength. Accept Allah's dominance over this globe. And it is His command that will proceed forward. لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ وَهُوَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. No one has a say after Allah Azza wa Jal's command. And I just a question for these conspiracy theorists and those who promote and share their work. They say to you, that this coronavirus is a plan for a new world order, for a totalitarian state. It's the 1% elite around the world that are going to control the entire population. This virus, the agenda behind it is depopulation. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And I just want to ask one question to these Muslims that believe these theories. One question, and that is, what if I was to say, couldn't this virus be Allah's plan to stop these people that you call whatever state or government they are? Couldn't this virus be Allah's plan to stop them from an even greater evil plan they had for the universe? Can it be or not? Of course it can be. If you open this door of Qadr and try to understand it and explain it the way you want, you will never end. You will never end. I will destroy your conspiracy theory with this one single fact that I just mentioned. What about if this coronavirus is Allah's plan to stop this evil part of the world to come up with a much evil plan they had planned? So Allah stopped it by sending coronavirus. Can it be? Can you say no? Impossible, you cannot say no. So please, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the first thing that coronavirus is teaching us is to humble yourself. Don't be arrogant. Believers, Muslims, us as Muslims, as believers, we are known. We are people of dalil. We are people of authentic evidence. We are people of authentic evidence. Wallah, we yani, subhanallah, the way we clean ourselves in the toilet, we only do that based on evidence. You know, anything in our life is all based on evidence. That's how the psychology, the brain, and the intellect of the Muslim works. Everything is upon dalil, upon proof. We only pray because there's dalil. We only fast because there's proof. We keep away from haram interactions and haram transactions because there's proof. You know, we keep away from certain things that the world finds as enjoyments because Allah told us it's haram, there's proof. When it comes to coronavirus, do you want to run your mouth and run your theories the way you want? Where's the proof for all of this? That you tell me there's an elite 1% in the world that wants to govern the entire globe. Where's the proof for this? Where is it? You heard it from such and such. Who's this person? Who is he? Is he a messenger? Is he a prophet? These people are talking on behalf of what's going to happen on earth. They don't even know what they're going to do tomorrow. These so-called conspiracy theorists, tomorrow, what happens in their daily life, they don't know. What they're going to eat tomorrow, they don't know. And you're, as a Muslim, going to take the word of someone that is telling you the future for this worldly life and what's going to happen. How weak is such an iman? Our iman is in Allah. Our iman is in Allah. We know that Allah controls the affairs of everything. And even if they have a filthy, corrupt plan, whatever it is, why do I have to share it? Why do I have to be worried about it? من نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم in an authentic hadith, he said, وَإِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْأُمَّةُ وَإِنِ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. الله أكبر. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that if the entire globe was to gather to harm you, Allahu Akbar, isn't this like you want to think about the coronavirus? Let's say, for example, yes, all right, there is this entire globe wants to gather against you. What's the deal? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, they will not be able to harm you except by something that Allah has written upon you. Allahu Akbar. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, be humble in front of this sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the coronavirus. Be humble and understand that nothing works except by Allah's permission. Nothing moves except by Allah's permission. Nothing affects, nothing harms, nothing benefits except by Allah azza wa jal's permission. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ, his command, if he wants something to happen, he says kun and it happens. Fa'alun lima yurid, he does whatever he wants. These are the spiritual meanings that you're supposed to tie to coronavirus. Wallahu ghalibun ala amrih, Allah azza wa jal, yani his command overpowers everything. No one stops Allah azza wa jal's decree at all. Allahu akbar. This is what we need to learn from this virus. My brothers and sisters in Islam, another thing that we need to tie of spiritual meaning to this coronavirus is that we need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like the eclipse is a sign from the signs of Allah, that Allah azza wa jal shows us in order to put positive fear inside of us, then this coronavirus, it's supposed to put fear inside of us, but positive fear, not negative fear. وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا. Yes, coronavirus will instill fear in us. In everyone, it should. But positive fear. Now let me explain to you. Negative fear is terrible. That it'll cripple you. It'll terrify you. Negative fear is the fear that doesn't give you the ability to do anything whatsoever. You're scared. You contemplate suicide. You're depressed, you don't want to live anymore. That's negative fear. La, Allah Azza wa Jalla is not putting that inside of us. Allah Azza wa Jalla is putting inside of us positive fear. Positive fear is the fear that promotes us to look into our future, to look towards the day of judgment. What have I prepared for that day? Positive fee helps you and promotes that you get up and you do the righteous good deeds, that you begin to pray on time, that you read this Quran that has been in the shelf for many months since Ramadan and you haven't touched. Positive fee is the fee that makes you give a sadaqah and look after the poor and the needy. Opposite to that, negative fee promotes hoarding. You go to the stores and you just want to buy everything for yourself and keep it for yourself because you fear that there could be a shortage of food. That's negative fee. Positive fee promotes a sadaqah and to look after those around you in hope that Allah Azza wa Jal gives you reward for what you're doing. Positive fee promotes being grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's positive fee, that you thank Allah Azza wa Jal for what you have. Yes, so many things have been taken away, restrictions and so on, loss of job, loss of wealth, loss of health, loss of whatever it is. But then there's still a lot more to be grateful for. The fact that you still have time on earth, you have an opportunity for a tawbah. This is one of the greatest ni'am and blessings that you could thank Allah Azza wa Jal for. Walhamdulillah, subhanallah, positive fee promotes dua, that you ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect you and to safeguard you. This is positive fee. This is what we want. And that's what coronavirus does. Now, subhanallah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He awaken our intellect, awaken our hearts and minds, so we can see through all of this and understand what Allah Azza wa Jal wants from us. Finally, my brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the last, perhaps 5 minutes I share with you. And that's the last discussion point, and that is a warning. Do not curse the virus, and do not curse the year in which this virus was sent. Do not curse 2020. Do not share those messages that curse this year at all. Allahu Akbar. And don't curse the virus. Let me tell you why. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered upon Ummu Sa'ib. That's her name. So he said to her, what's wrong with you? She looked like she was sick in her bed. So he said to her, what's the matter? Ya Ummu Sa'ib. So she said to him, Al-Huma, la barakallahu fiha. She said, I have a fever. May Allah not bless the fever. That's considered a form of curse. May Allah not bless the fever. Fever, sickness. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تسب الحمى. Do not curse the fever. فإنها تذهب خطايا بني آدم كما يذهب الكير خبث الحديد. He said to her, do not curse the fever because it wipes away sins of mankind just like the blacksmith removes the dirt from the gold or from any other metal. So the idea is, don't curse the virus, because the virus is actually a mercy of Allah upon the believer and it wipes away your sins. Do not curse cancer. Do not curse any kind of disease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends upon His servants. Allahu Akbar. Because as we said, there are a chance and an opportunity for you to seek closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal and for your sins to be forgiven. And do not curse the year in which coronavirus was sent, and that is 2020. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anh, this is considered hadith Qudsi, these are the words of Allah, paraphrased by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said, يُؤْذِينِ ibnu Adam, that the son of Adam, he causes me pain. يَسُبُّ الدَّهَرِ, he curses time. وَأَنَا الدَّهَرِ, and I am time. I am time. What does that mean? بِيَدِي الْأَمْرُ أُقَلِّبُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. When Allah Azza wa Jal says, I am time, meaning it is Allah who controls time. He controls the affairs of the time. Allah Azza wa Jal brings the day and removes the day, brings in the night, moves the night away, brings in another day, and so on. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا تَسُبُّ الدَّهْرِ, do not curse time. فَإِنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الدَّهْرِ, because Allah is a dahr, meaning Allah is the one who controls the time. He is the Lord of the time. So the year 2020 is only a period of time in which a pandemic occurred. The year 2020, the year 2020, doesn't hold the ability to benefit us nor harm us. And it's not even a reason for why the pandemic happened. If you curse time, you're cursing Allah Azza wa Jal. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الدَّهَرُ. Allah is الدَّهَرُ. Allah is the time. Meaning Allah is the Lord of the time. So when you're cursing time, you're cursing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fear Allah Azza wa Jal. And understand and know that the real reason for why this pandemic is with us and for every type of calamity that befalls us is because of what we have done. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said that al-fasad, corruption, has become widespread on land and in the ocean. ظَهَرَ, every type of calamity and evil has happened on land, on earth, because of what people's hand has done. Allahu Akbar. لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا, so that they can taste some of the corruption that they had done. Everything that Allah tests us with of calamities is just a taste of something small of what we have done with our hands of sin and filth. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that maybe we can wake up and return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are we waiting for? Are we waiting for another disaster? Are we waiting for things to get worse? Allahu a'lam, what will happen in the future? The end of 2020 doesn't mean it's the end of the virus, as some people are sharing the message, you know, sharing the message, 2020 out the window and the virus out the window with it. And 2021 is bringing goodness. Allah, who knows? Allahu a'lam. Of course, we have positive hope in Allah and high hope in Allah. And we hope and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bring us relief and to remove this pandemic away from us. We ask Him with humility, with humbleness, acknowledging His power and His strength and His dominance over the affairs of mankind. And we don't await another disaster. We don't know what will happen. So turn to Allah Azza wa Jal in repentance. Ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you of what has happened of your sins and shortcomings. And there is no significance for the new year in the life of a Muslim. But I chose to share this lesson at this time because, subhanallah, this is the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. I did not intend this specific day because it's the end of the year and we're about to begin a new year. This really doesn't bother or concern the believer. Alhamdulillah, we have our own calendar, we have our own Islamic year, and there is really no significance. It's just a matter of you have come closer to your death and sit down with yourself every single night, reflect over what you have done, reflect over your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enhance your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us the ability to do so. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins and of our shortcomings. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that He remove this pandemic from this world. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure the sick, to cure the sick, and to have mercy upon the deceased of our brothers and sisters. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.